believe it. Amen. The musicians can go ahead and be seated. Amen. God bless you this afternoon, saints. We'll get the service underway and try not to tarry too long. Brother Daniel was praying for Brother Paco just a little while ago, and I received a text there a little while ago that said that since Brother Paco was driving the vehicle, he's held responsible. So I think what that equates to is that the medical bills are going to be on his shoulders. He'll be responsible to pay for that. And so when you pray, let's remember that brother. Do you imagine, he's an interpreter. He interprets for Brother Daniel when he goes down there. And you can imagine him, excited about the visiting minister from the United States and coming in and having wonderful meetings. I understand they were having tremendous meetings. And then going and driving this servant of the Lord to some other place and something like this happening, what that would mean to our brother. So let's remember Brother Paco. I believe God's people will rally around this need. And I think when it's over and done with, Satan's going to wish he didn't pick a fight.
Amen.
So let's just believe that. And as we continue the service, remember that. If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and open up, and we'll go to Genesis chapter 14 first, then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 7 after that, and just forgive me for a lengthy scripture reading, but it's necessary, I guess, to lay a foundation to just a few comments I want to make this afternoon. God's been good to us.
Yes, He is.
And I know that the Lord spoke specifically to this assembly in many, many areas. And I know some areas so specific that I imagine somebody would probably be wondering if man's hand wasn't in it somewhere. But you're more than welcome to call Brother Ben and ask him if he had been informed anything about our assembly, anything about our struggles or anything like that that we might be working through in any person's life here. What you heard last night and this morning came by inspiration from the Lord. And I trust that you receive it that way. And that what God sent it for and what it's intended to do, that you would allow that to take place in your life and in this assembly. We thank God for being the mastermind behind our walk, because we need it.
Amen. Tony, can I add an extra prayer request? I was late getting here. I was stopped at Lowe's by a woman who asked about my faith and was asking questions. And I think she was seeking reassurance that I didn't think any of the things she asked about would happen. She asked about possibility of a chip being placed in folks and catastrophe and death. And I couldn't give her that reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
And, I answered to the best of my ability, and I didn't get her name. But she said that she would never do any of that, and she knew that she wasn't clean inside, and that she wanted to stay true to the Lord. So,
yeah.
I'd just like to praise her.
Well, that's good. The Lord knows who she is. She's obviously seeking something. Mm-hmm. And that's a good example for you sisters. You speak, you preach, whether you think you get through or not. You preach not just in the homes, but as you go places. So, Lord knows that person. We will pray over that request. After we read the scriptures, we'll pray. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. This is Abraham coming back from delivering his brother, or his nephew. In one place it calls him brother, but his nephew Lot. And so he has delivered him from the kings that had taken him captive, and he's on his way back. And so this is where the scripture takes place. Genesis 14, verse 18. And it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hands. And he gave him tithes of all." Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. "For this Melchizedek," who we just read about, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes from the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. Verse 7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Let's just bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us this weekend. We thank you for this opportunity we have now before us. We want to come, Lord, with just a sincere heart before you this afternoon. And Lord, just tell you that we love you and we love your presence among us. We love you making us a people who are of one body and one people, one faith, Lord, in agreement. We just appreciate your presence among us, making these things happen. We know, God, it is you that has done it. And so, Lord, we just honor you this afternoon in this service and to speak about communion with you, with your people. We ask, God, that you would just bless the request that we have of Brother Paco. Lord, that you would turn that to your glory. Then when it was over, it's over and done, Lord, that your people would look back. And perhaps if we're here years to come, they would rejoice in what you have accomplished. And Lord, we also ask for this request Sister Sarah has given. We know not the name of this woman, Lord, but I pray that you would answer the cry of her heart. You said that if a person hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they would be filled. And so, Lord, we send your Holy Spirit to minister to her need. Send her, Lord, to the right place that you might hear the truth that's allotted to her in this hour. We just pray, God, that you would do that. And even, Lord, if you would see it beneficial, Lord, that we might even hear a testimony back and see that her life has been touched and changed. Whoever she is, we commit this service now into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to try and work through this pretty quick. Just a few comments about communion. And then we'll have foot washing and go from there. Communion obviously is a very sacred thing. It should be a sacred thing, I'll put it that way. There's a lot of things in this world that Satan has put his hand to and has caused people to not recognize it as being something holy and sacred. Marriage is one of them. It's, last time I checked, it was called holy matrimony. But Satan gets in there and takes that away. But we know that communion is a very sacred thing, and we want to, from time to time, we want to say things, preach things, to reestablish with us that we should hold it in high regard. You've heard me say that if the Lord was to come, or anyone was to come to your house, the way that you would make them a guest of honor, they don't just, you know, come in and automatically be a guest of honor. You have to make it that way. And so that's certainly what we want to do. And as we talk about communion, we want to revive the understanding in our hearts of how serious and what this is all about. And so you pray that the Lord will allow us to move into that this afternoon. I'm going to start out by reading a quote from Communion, 1965. Brother Branham says, "You don't take the Lord's Supper by a tradition. You take it because it's the love of God in your heart in keeping the commandments of God. That's what you take it for. So if you don't take it in sincerity, just a tradition, say, well, our church observes communion once every Sunday or once a month or twice a year. And you go up and you say, well, it's my time. And then you go take communion. Brother Rand said, why, it's a stink to God. It's a stench in his nostrils. And so he said, that's just a tradition. And Brother Rand said, even like anything else, you've got to be sincere. God wants the depths of your heart. And remember, the very God that brought you here on earth is the one you're serving. See, you're doing it because he said so, because it's his order. And then we want to come up with deepness and sincerity, knowing that by God's grace we have all that we have been saved. And we love him, and we feel his presence, and we see it changing our lives. Our whole being is changed. We're different people. We don't live like we used to, and we don't think like we used to. Can we say amen?
Amen.
We can. We could say amen. And so, it's a sacred thing, and you know, God is the one who, he's the author of redemption. It was all instituted by him. Remember, man was not looking for God, but God was looking for man. And so, God is the one who is the author of redemption. You know, God wanted fellowship. And the fellowship that God wants with you and I is not the fellowship that we might have just as a brother toward a brother, or just saints among people or something like that. It is God's fellowship that he desires to have with us. Is it's on the order of the deepness and the intimacy of husband and wife. Because, you know, we are the bride of Christ. He is our bridegroom. And so God desired that kind of fellowship. And of course, he put into place something, a plan of redemption that would bring us to the place where we could fellowship with him in that level. And so we go back in the scriptures and we see that God, the first place we find it mentioned in the scriptures is where Abraham was coming back from the battle. And we see that Melchizedek met him. And we'll fast forward to our day and find out that a prophet told us who Melchizedek was. Probably people touched on it and wondered about it through the years, but a prophet brought our attention to that, to realize that this one who met Abraham was actually God in a flesh body. He wasn't born of woman, but he was God. And he was God in a form before he became the flesh man, Jesus Christ. And so we find, and I think I mentioned this last week a little bit about this, but God had a way to save man, and that was still going to be him coming in flesh and being Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so that was the way God was going to save us. And the scripture let us know that way back when God called Abraham, that God delivered to Abraham the covenant that you and I are setting in today. God actually made that covenant with Abraham and to his seed, and not just the children like the sand of the sea, his earthly children, but like the stars of heaven. So he had a spiritual family also, that Abraham would have a family that was, you couldn't even count them, there were so many. And so this covenant was to Abraham, and it would be to his seed which would follow. And it wasn't seeds, but it was seed which was Christ. And of course, through Christ, you and I come. So the blessing that Abraham would be father of all nations and all this, everybody in the world would be blessed through that, came through that seed, not as in his physical seed, but in through Christ. And then through Christ, it opened up to all the entire Gentile people that we could all be saved and be considered the children of Abraham because of our faith. And so God wanted to, is going to save man. And he's back here in Abraham's day, and he's starting the process of this covenant. And God knows that before that he can actually bring that covenant into full power, which would be Jesus Christ coming and appearing on the earth, that between that time and the time of Jesus Christ, that he would have to have a time that we refer to as a law, that would just be a time as a schoolmaster. That things wouldn't quite be in maturity yet. And so the scriptures tell us that God came to Abraham, and he gave to him this covenant, gave to him this promise, and actually started the dispensation of grace, I guess, even though it wasn't started then, but he started the seed of it, so that it would come to pass in our day. And so, here it is in that time, he's starting out with Abraham this covenant. And so God says, and I just try to paraphrase, God says, now, I know that I'm going to come someday and born of a woman, and I'm going to be their high priest. I'm going to be the redeemer. And at that time, I will offer communion and I'll enter into this relationship that I want with my people. But I'm going to have this period of time called law. And so I'm going to do that there. But since I'm setting the foundation here and I'm actually starting this covenant with Abraham, I've got to come to him like I would be over here when Jesus Christ. So you'll find out that God came down in the form of a flesh man, and it was God in flesh, but he was acting out an office of a priesthood as a mediator between God and Abraham. And so we read the scriptures there that God did this. It didn't say anything about Abraham coming back from the slaughter and saying, okay, God, come talk to me, come see me, nothing like that. God came, sent himself in this form, and instituted this relationship, instituted this exchange between him and Abraham through Melchizedek. And so the scriptures we just read showed that Melchizedek came and offered to Abraham bread and wine. And then, of course, Abraham paid tithes to him. And so what you see here is that God was setting up a pattern of what Jesus Christ would be. So later on in the scriptures, it talked about in prophecy about Jesus coming, that he would be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so what God did back here with Abraham, he set up an order. He set up a priesthood. He set up a priestly order back then that was going to supersede anything that the law, anything that the Levites and the physical would ever be. He established that law, that priesthood and that order back there. And that was a pattern of what Jesus Christ was going to come and be the fullness of. And so when the scriptures prophecies later on began to speak of Christ coming, and it would speak of him being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But since Jesus Christ was going to be God in flesh, then Melchizedek had to be God in flesh. And since Jesus Christ was going to be a priest who would never pass off the scene, his priesthood, he wouldn't have to have one man coming in and he died and another come in. He was going to ever live to make intercessions. Well, since that's the way Jesus Christ was going to be, then this man could not be a man who was going to die. He had to be a man that was actually God coming in flesh. And so you see, God set that order up back in the Old Testament when he met Abraham. So he showed that he was going to be a man that it would be one who wasn't going to die, or that his priesthood would continue on and on, and that he would be the mediator between God and man. And that's what the scripture said. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. That one. And so, and since he would be God in flesh, and he would be in that situation, it had to show that no matter who was on earth, no matter what people it was that was on earth, this one who was going to be their priesthood, he would be much greater than any of them. So you find out in the scriptures that, and I'm sure you in the Jewish community, that Abraham is held in high regard. Our father Abraham, and all of our fathers, Jacob, and you know, he gave us this well. Are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well? And so they have a high esteem of their genealogy, and especially of their fathers, and especially of Abraham. And so in the Jewish way of looking, they would look back and say, nobody's greater than our father Abraham, because our very existence come from him. And so, but the scriptures pointed to that and said, look who this man was, this Melchizedek. How great this man was, that even Abraham, the most highly esteemed among our ranks, even Abraham gave a tenth to him. So you see what God is establishing there. Because why? This was all an order that Jesus would come to when he came to the earth, that he would be God in flesh, and that he would have a priesthood that would not end, that it would continue on, and that he would be much greater than anyone else, any royal family, any group of people. And so you see God showing there with Abraham a communion, where God was coming down and instigating with his child and his victorious child, Brother Branham said, to enter into this communion and this relationship. And communion usually with us has something to do with getting together and eating and drinking as we commune, as we fellowship. It's kind of all tied together. So you see that happening because why? This was setting up the order of what Jesus Christ was going to be when he come, many, many years later. And so, in our day, we come along and you hear Brother Branham talking about this, and Brother Branham said that when God gives you communion, he gives you of himself. Now you realize when God came down to Abraham, since it was physical seed of Abraham and that sort of thing, it was physical bread and wine that was being exchanged there. But in typology, who is the bread of life? That was a type of the true bread of life. Who is the bread of life? Be Jesus Christ himself. And so you see, this was laid out in typology, showing that in our day when Jesus Christ would come, he wouldn't just come and give us some physical something, some physical bread and wine and that sort of thing. What he would really be doing would be giving you the bread from heaven, which was himself. So Brother Ram said, when he gives you communion, when he comes down and he wants to offer to you bread and wine, what he's really doing is offering you himself so that you become one with him. So now you see why I said it's like matrimony, holy matrimony, because it's a oneness like that. And so he was showing that he would be giving us the true bread from heaven, the true wine from heaven, and that we would be coming one with him, and that would be on an intimate level, like husband and a wife, and that kind of intimacy. We find out, and you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it in Galatians. The Galatians says, and this I say, this is Paul speaking, he said, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So Paul was speaking there of what God had given to Abraham, and he said, when the law come along, that law came 430 years later, and though it was as great as it was, it would not take away the promise and the covenant and everything that was made with Abraham. That law wouldn't take it away. So it just kind of for a while sat there. But when that seed come, who was supposed to be, which was Christ, then that which was established with Abraham came into full force at that point, and you and I became partakers of it in what we call a dispensation of grace. So the scriptures let us know that law will never take that away. Legalism will never take that away. We are saved by the grace of God. We are saved by his life coming into us. And though we have areas of our life that is legalistic, and there are things that we serve God legalistically, we have to. There's orders of how we do things and how we have to set up and follow things. But none of that, like we heard this morning, that's not it. It's that relationship of that bread and that wine that we receive that and we commune with that. Amen. We commune with Christ Jesus. And so the scripture said that before the law, sin was not imputed. How many knows that? Sin was not imputed until the law came. But then we know that in Christ Jesus, we're not under the law, we're under grace. But I just want to say this, that the grace of God, it doesn't just say, well, law, you're just not in effect anymore. The grace of God satisfies the demand on the law. Where the law said there must be a penalty paid, that penalty got paid. So when you and I sit in the grace of God, it's not because, well, we just made that law of none effect necessarily. It's because the demand that the law had on you and I, that demand was met in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so the price was paid and the law's happy, and he went away happy because he had that, you see. But we have to be in Jesus Christ, in Christ, for that to be the case. And so Jesus Christ fulfilled that when he gave us communion, and when he suffered, he gave and fulfilled that law. And so we come on over and we find out, now God does this to us as a natural, but he also does it as the bride through ages. We find Brother Branham standing in this age, and he said, he made this statement. He said, where are we at in this Abrahamic age? And he showed us that as God appeared to Abraham, and that Abraham had a time of justification, a time of sanctification, a time of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a time that God stood before him and discerned the thoughts and intents of Sarah's heart, that Abraham went through that process, and Brother Branham brought our attention to that we come through the same process, that we have come through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God has stood in flesh in our day and discerned the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he showed us he was coming through that. So And he actually told us what God does to Abraham, he does to Abraham's seed. So a prophet is bringing our attention to the fact that what God did with Abraham, he's repeating it again with his children right now. And that we've already come through the steps of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and even the discernment. Discernment of God in a fleshly form standing there and discerning the thoughts of intents. And the very next thing was the promised son to come on the scene. And Brother Branham said, we can't receive that promised son in these bodies. So we have to have a body change. Abraham and Sarah had to have a change. And so he tells us that. So all this process, and Brother Branham says, now where are we at in this Abrahamic age? And he's calling our attention to this. In this process, just how far along are we? And where we are is that we've already passed this stage of God in flesh, and the very next thing is to be the promised son to show on this, to come up on the scene, which that would mean body change for you and I. And so now, that's what this Melchizedek situation was about. And Brother Branham comes in our day and says, who is this Melchizedek? He didn't say, well, who was that Melchizedek? I believe he was bringing our attention to saying, who is this Melchizedek? Showing us that if Melchizedek is on the scene now like he was then there must be a victorious son or victorious people that's gaining victory, and he has come now, and he's in the process of entering into this exchange like he did with Abraham on a greater level than what the church has ever known throughout the ages. We call it the message of the hour. We call it the bride coming and the groom coming and the bride and the marriage and that sort of thing. It's just another way of saying it. But you can see that the pattern is there. And so I believe that we're living in an hour that not just us as individuals, but even the church as an age, we have arrived at a time to enter into that communion with God like never before. And so that's where we are. And so now, in a little bit, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm just going to make some comments about it, and then we'll read it and then move into communion. But Paul, we'll see where Paul is speaking of discerning the Lord's body. And I just want to ask you a question. You don't have to verbally answer it, but who is the Lord? What is the Lord's body? It's the believers. It's the people that he dwells in. So in coming to communion, Paul was saying, listen, you know, there's a right way to approach this. You'll find that in there, people were coming to the church. They were going to have the Lord's Supper. And I guess there was a misunderstanding. I don't know, but people were coming, I guess, bringing their lunch and that sort of thing. And some people would come and have food to eat, some wouldn't. Well, that's not very nice to come together in a place of fellowship and some have to eat, others not, and not share. So when we have fellowship together, everybody gets to eat, okay? So our fellowship is a little bit different than this. But Paul was basically saying, look, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we're not talking about you bringing your sack lunch and some of you having and some you don't have. That's not what we're talking about. When we talk about coming to the Lord's Supper, we're talking about something different. And so Paul picks this up and he's speaking there and he speaks of how that in this coming to communion, we must discern the Lord's body. We must, and so if I could say, well, you know, let's discern what in this room, what is the piano? Well, proper discernment, we'd all have to turn and we'd have to say, this is. It's not the chairs, it's not something else. We thoroughly understand in this room what the piano is. So as we come to communion, God wants us to thoroughly understand, hey, what is the body of Christ? What's it all about? So that as we approach it, because you're entering into communion with Him, but who is His body? So when you enter into communion with Him, it's a requirement that you also are entering into communion with His body. It means that you have to know that you're part of that body, and you have to recognize the other members who are part of that body, and to recognize you're all one, and to come together in a unity into this very sacred moment of communion, to come in that way, to thoroughly understand and recognize the body. and to recognize how it lives. If it's the body of Christ, if I'm a part of the body of Christ, if you're a part of the body of Christ, and to understand that, for me to say, you know what, I know these people are part of the same body I belong to. And to understand that, and to understand that if I'm part of the body, I'll live the way the body of Christ lives. And if you're a part of the body, you'll live that way. In other words, you won't live a life that's contrary. And I won't live a life contrary to the best that we can, that we fight each day to live a life before God and before the people, so that when we stand and we say, you know, I'm part of this body, that the thing that people see when they look at me and I say, I'm part of this body, when I come and I take communion, I'm saying I'm part of this body when I do this. I'm saying that I'm in communion with the Lord. Well, what he wants us to make sure that we're doing is that when we do that, that our life speaks that to the people that sees us. And so Paul speaks and says, so if you come to the table of communion and you don't understand this concept, you don't realize that you can't call yourself part of that if you're not truly in your heart truly trying to serve God the best you know how. You can't, it's not, it don't work. You got to examine yourself, look at yourself and judge yourself so that you won't be judged later. Look at yourself and see, is my life worthy? Do I show people? When people look at me, as we heard this morning, do they see something different? This sister, or this woman in Lowe's saw something. So there's something that was there that we, in this crooked generation where all the women want to dress a certain way, Sister Sarah stuck out. So her life speaks something there, enough that someone would come and ask and say, hey, and obviously this woman felt like she could make contact with something there that might help her. So you see, that's what he's saying. When you come to the table of communion, we want you to understand why you're partakers of. When you be partakers of Christ, you have to understand that you're saying you're part of the body of Christ, and you need to live before God and before man an image and or an expression that helps them to say, you know what, I want to be part of this. And as you do this, you have to understand everyone else around you that's part of that body. And you know, if I walked over here to Matthew and he had his hand stick out and I slapped him on his hand, and I told you, now I didn't hit his body. I didn't strike part of Matthew. You'd think I was crazy. And the point I'm getting at is that we're all part of the body. And if we ill-treat even the minute part of that body, we're mistreating the body. So if people came in, was bringing their sack lunch, and they thought it was time to eat, and there were some who didn't have and some who didn't have, that wouldn't be very good, would it? That wouldn't be very charitable to the body. And so Paul was saying, listen, that's not what it's about. This is a sacred thing where you're coming together and you're recognizing the body of Christ. That you're a part of it, and you recognize what that means. That you live a life before God and before the people out there and before one another, that you recognize that body and that it's Christ in us that's moving among us. And so I'm going to read another quote and say a couple more comments, and then we'll be finished here. When we could see that God has brought us where we are, where we came from. Message called Desperation. Brother Bram said, I believe that communion is one of the most solemn, sacred, sweetest worships there is in a church service. He said, so many try to say, well, we got an original nail or we got a piece of cloth. But there was three things that the Lord left us. It was the Lord's Supper, baptism, and feet washing. That was the three orders that he left through the church. And tonight, Brother Branham is speaking to his people there. He said, tonight seemed to be a very special time for me. I'll say the same. He said, as I stood here and just watched, usually I'm constantly in prayer. I guess they were having communion and he's usually in prayer, but he was watching. He said, but tonight watching the different things, he said, and see some of the families that come here. Since I was a little boy preacher standing here with the sawdust floors. He said, watching the men with their little wives and their family and see how they prefer one another and with sacredness of that, and how they watch their little children. And see the lady here with her hands reaching out, and think, well, that little hand washed and wiped the tears of the baby's eyes. So Brother Branham is watching over the years, and he sees the people that are coming up in communion, and he's reflecting in his mind way back when some of these people were young, and how the trials that they went through the years. And he said, I've seen them families come up that they're, that I've been in their homes, and they were sick, and their fevering children, and the Lord made their children well. And he said, I've seen them, they had family troubles when they had family troubles, and the Lord helped them to get it smoothed out, and to see them happy again. And I just think how it would be when we go to that wedding supper. So Brother Branham is looking at all the things that the Lord has done for these people as they come up through communion. And he said, I look and I've seen in my mind the times that they had troubles and God brought them through it. And their children were sick and God brought them through it. And Brother Branham is reflecting back to that. And I said all that just to say, saints, look what he's done for us as individuals, as a people. Look where he's brought us from. It's him. It's him that's done that.
That's right.
He deserves our honor and our gratitude and all the worship and all the sacredness that we can apply toward him in our lives. He deserves every bit of it. And so, because it's him that lives among us. And we need to recognize that. It's the same God that deals with me and has brought me thus far. It's the same one that's done you. And so, we as members, we recognize, you know, a liver might be a liver, a heart might be a heart, brain might be a brain. They might not have a whole lot in common, but there's one thing they do have in common, and that's the blood that moves back and forth between them. It takes life to them and removes the waste away from their lives. The blood. And that's you and I. We understand that we are part of this body, and it's the blood, it's the blood of God, the life that's in the blood, the token life. It's that life that's moving back and forth between you and I that's made us what we are, that's helped us through the years and brought us to where we are now. And that's who we honor. And I honor him in you. I honor him in this church. I honor him in my life. And that's what we want to do. We want to recognize that it's him. We don't want to look for something that's a glamour, something sparkly, but look for something that's a glow. We're not a fancy church. We don't need to be. But we want the glow of the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping us to be what we need to be. So we want to serve him the best we know how, in humility, and do everything that we can to make sure that we keep an environment around us that the Holy Spirit wants to be in. Because remember, we can do things to make him go sit on a limb. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of promise according to Scriptures. We don't want to do that. Because at any time, we might be summoned. At any time, we might have a need. And we just want to make sure that the Lord is pleased to dwell among us. And when he's among us, he'll do great things. He always will. He always do that. And so, that's the comments I wanted to make about communion, is to let you know that we recognize we're not perfect people in ourselves. No, but we know that he's perfect. And we can see that he's moving among us. And so we know that as he deals with my life, if that blood carrying that life rushes to me as one member of the body and refreshes me, and then moves and refreshes you, and at some point it comes back and refreshes me. We all go through ups and downs, but we constantly see God refreshing us. Then I must be part of the body, because the Holy Spirit's doing that, and he's doing it for you. So we are a body, and we want to recognize that. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel, Brother Tim, they'll come up. These brothers are going to pray over the bread and the wine. Amen. Let's all bow our hearts. So remember, this is a sacred moment. Ask Brother Tim if he'll pray over the bread and break the bread.
Heavenly Father, we are honored by your presence here tonight. And we thank you for God. This is a solemn occasion, Lord God. Lord, we this bread represents your broken body.
Yes, Jesus.
But Lord, also it represents a victory, Lord God, for you raised from the dead, Lord God. Through your sacrifice, you have healed us, Lord God. You have given us power over sin, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you for that.
Yes.
Lord, may we pray that you would just sanctify and bless this plant, Lord God. Be with us, Lord God, and help us realize what we are doing, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, of everything that's unlike you, Jesus, our inspiration, Lord, our thoughts that may try to come, oh God, I ask you, Lord, that you will be in our midst, oh God,
yes,
in our daily walk, Lord, our fervency before you, Lord, I'm asking you, Jesus, for a double portion, Father.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you to bless this wine, oh God.
Yes,
Lord, is it simple, Father, something we want every day, Lord. Father, that is the babe in your presence, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, to come, Father. We love you, Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord. We ask you these things in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. If everybody will just come and come up to this right side over here. Amen. The families can come together if you want, just however you want to do it. I pray, God, that you would anoint us, Lord, with eyes to see, Lord, with sensitivity, Lord, that we could see every move that your Spirit makes, Lord, that we would be very attentive to your, even your slightest whisper, God, to be led by you, Lord, from the pulpit all the way to the back and all between. I pray that each family, each one, Lord, would be sensitive to you, Lord. God, that the unity that you desire to have among us, Lord, that just come into being in such a way that, Lord, that we would all, that God, that we would know that you had poured out a blessing on us that we're even have a hard time comprehending it. But Lord, we just know that you desire to do that. We just ask for your blessings, Lord, upon this assembly in that way. Lord, as we go into foot washing now, we just pray that your blessings would be among us, Lord, and may we catch the revelation of what it really means to be servants in your body. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. sisters will go to the back room and the brothers gather up the front. We will have foot washing. To us. Man, you saints continue to be in prayer. Would like to ask you to pray. Remember Brother Brian Milton. I think that he's scheduled Thursday morning to have back surgery Thursday morning. So ask the doctors to the Lord to guide the doctors that they would do everything right, because they are just man, and it's a serious operation. So we just ask that the Lord, that he would intervene and see that brother through. So remember that. Remember Brother Miller. Remember the families of the victims. And just remember to keep the Lord center of attention in your life. And I think if we'll do that, he'll take care of all the other things. Amen. That's what the scriptures tell us. And so we will go ahead and we're going to sing and worship for a while, but I want to go ahead and dismiss anyone who needs to go. You know what your schedule is and what time you need to get on the road or whatever, but we're going to stay and worship for just a little while until everybody feels that it's that they have reached the point where they can leave. But so may the Lord bless you, and it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
I bless your name. I bless. Shout and play. Lift high.